All right.
So does anyone have any additional comments or any mention of any homework notes that you might have done this week?
I have a question, but I feel like it's going to end up coming up next week. It's regarding chapter 3.
Yes.
Regarding when he says, be born of water and of the Spirit.
Yes.
I'm struggling with exactly what that means, because, of course, my first instinct is to interpret it as water baptism and receiving the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
And it doesn't say that.
No, it doesn't.
In literal words.
Yeah. It doesn't. Indeed, when you look at it, it doesn't seem to say it at all. Because if you look at it, he says in verse 5, Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So he tells them, so here's the entrance into the kingdom of God, and there's two things that need to occur before that. You're born from water and Spirit, right? Well, here's the interesting thing. If you look at the, I hate doing that, but if you look at the Greek, what's the word for Spirit? We know this.
Pneumas.
Pneumas, right? Pneumas. And what does that mean?
Here.
Wind, right? Here, yeah. So Jesus says, if you're not born of water and wind, you won't enter the kingdom of heaven. What? Water and wind? What does that possibly mean? What's water and wind? Now, when we see the word Spirit, we automatically go, oh, the Holy Spirit. And that's right, because that's often how it's used. But when we see this water and wind, what is he talking about? What does it possibly mean? So let's see again. Let's look at verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it. But you do not know where it comes from and where it's going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? Are you the teacher of Israel? Do you not understand these things? Truly I say to you, we speak of what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not accept our testimony. If I told you earthly things that you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? So now he's speaking, and he says, well, all right, that was one picture, but now I'm going to talk to you. How can you possibly understand the things from being above, heavenly, versus a thing that are below? Where's water and wind occur, especially during a storm? Is it above or below?
Water comes from above to below.
Yeah. And the wind is an above direction too, right? Well, no one has ascended into heaven, but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. What's the direction here?
Going up.
No one has gone up, but
one has come down.
One has come down. So we have that above and below thing again. So when he says this, and he says in verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. What's the direction here? Going up. But what is he possibly talking about there? That he's citing Moses lifting up a serpent. Is it just simply a vertical motion? Moses picked something up. I'm going to be picked up. So that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. So, I mean, we're not going to go into all the details here. Especially since next week we're going to be in John chapter 6. We're going to hop around a little. But here, when we see this, it doesn't seem to be talking about water baptism. It seems to be talking about being born from above so that you can exist forever in the kingdom to have that eternal life. So whatever it is, it can't be water baptism because he keeps talking about believing on him, that the focus is on him, and then you have eternal life. So whatever that means whatever you're being born from above is, it has to do with somehow with this believing in him. And then John chapter 6 actually winds up helping us. Because in John chapter 6, Jesus starts saying, let's look at John chapter 6 real quick. John chapter 6, let's start at verse 35. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger. He who believes in me will never thirst. But I say to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of him who sent me, that all that he has given me I lose nothing, but raise it up in the last day. For this is the will of the Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will rise him up from the dead. Hop down again. Verse 43, Jesus answered and said to them, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. Is there any connection there to that other previous discussion of being born from above? Quite possibly. We don't have time to get into it. This is part of your homework, after all. But here we see this direction where Jesus is saying, the direction of your eternal life comes from above. Now, does that mean that you've been elect from, that you have no choice, that you have no free will? That's interpretation again. Oh, that means that you've been chosen and you have no choice if you come to believe. No, that's interpretation again. What does it say? So going back to your question, the struggle with water baptism, it doesn't seem to be talking about water baptism. It seems to be talking about something greater. And we do have to ask that question that Josh asked last week. What's John's deal with water? Why does he keep bringing it up? And also look for the words that he surrounds with the water. Here, when in John chapter 1, he talks about the baptism of John, where he says that John was baptizing with water, and one who's coming is going to baptize with something else. He's not baptizing with water. What's the deal there? And then in John chapter 2, John decides to record, he used these purification jars, water, filled them up in these jars that were used for purification. What does that have to do with it? Purification doesn't even end there. We see purification come up again in the book of John. What's going on there?
Just a thought. What is the relation between like water and life?
Well, it's different. I mean, if you go to John chapter 4, he says again about the waters of life that are springing up into you. He says it again in chapter 7. He goes, come unto me, or chapter 8, come unto me, all you who are heavy laden, come to you. That's not here. He says, come to me, those who are thirsty. I should just look at the text there. John chapter 7. Jesus teaches at the feast. It's at the last day. Verse 37, it says, now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up crying out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. It's interesting, right? So there's this waters of life again, and yet it's waters that are flowing out of you. It's interesting. So, I mean, you have to look at those things. We're over, but I think he's actually stumbled on something here too that later weeks we'll talk about. Look for the things that repeat as part of your studying. So when you're studying, look for the things that repeat, because when we repeat things, we emphasize them. It says that they're important. So look for the things that repeat, because when we repeat things, they're important and we're emphasizing it. So look for the things that repeat. Did anybody get the point yet? Because they're important, and that's what we use to emphasize. Look for the things that repeat, because they are important. So do that. Write those down, because there might be something there. And we'll talk about that, about patterns and things like that, in later weeks.
Question.
Yes.
I was trying to look for this earlier in that. The institution of water baptism, where did that begin?
That began when Jesus, well.
Did it begin when John baptized Jesus, or was it something traditional?
Yeah, that's a thing, because the Jews did have washings. Because it says in the book of Hebrews that there was many baptisms.
Yeah.
So the Jews definitely had washings, especially the Levites would wash themselves at the basin.
Mm-hmm.
And they would wash themselves before they would do their work. They had their purifying waters. And there were, we know historically, there were other people that were baptizing. And John was one of these people that were baptizing. So although that practice was around and it was going on, we do know there was something utterly different about Christ's baptism.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, there's something utterly different. Because this was the one baptism that was now under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Yes. All right. What were you going to say? You had.
Yeah, you pretty much answered. I was just considering that, like, when the Pharisees came along to question John, they specifically brought up, you know, are you the Christ? Are you Elijah? And they said, like, almost in a way, like, if you were these people, we could expect you to be baptizing. Who are you to be baptizing?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it could be that they were. Let's see what it says there. John 1. I mean, we're going a little bit OT.
Yeah, they didn't question John baptizing.
Yeah, because what they said, let's see what he says. This is the testimony of John, verse 19, chapter 1. When the Jews sent to him priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" So they're not questioning what are you and what authority are you baptizing, but they're asking, who are you altogether? I mean, this guy was out living in the wilderness. He's eating locusts, eating honey. He's dressed like crazily, and he's doing this. And what? Remember, he was preaching repentance. The kingdom of God is at hand, right? So he was preaching this, and he confessed. He did not deny, but confessed, "I am." What's interesting here? You know, "I am" is also a word that's repeated in John. "I am" comes up a few times.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus says, "I am" a few times there. But here, John says, "I am not I am the Christ." They asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" So they stepped back. So they were expecting the Christ. And he automatically says, "I am not the Christ. I'm not that. What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not. Are you the prophet?" Were they expecting something different? Did they have a category for Christ, a category for Elijah, the category for prophet?
They had ABC.
Yeah, maybe they had ABC. Those are questions that we need to ask, and we need to put a little thing there. I'm not saying if what they were doing or not, but you put those things there. And he answered and said, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you, so that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as Isaiah the prophet said." Now look at verse 24. Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him and said to him, "Why then are you baptizing if you're not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" So here now they're tying with the going with the baptism. They're going into that thing. So you're doing this. Why are you doing this? Because maybe a baptizer might be gathering the followers, but the Christ would be one, but Elijah might be doing it, and this prophet might be doing it. But there was other people that were doing it. I mean, the Levites did it. So what's he doing out in the wilderness that's separate from the temple practice? John answered them saying, "I baptize in water." So he's saying there's something limited about what he's doing. "But among you stands one whom you do not know. It is he who comes after me, whose shoelaces I'm not worthy to untie." And these things took place in Bethany beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. And then the next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he on behalf of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who is higher than I, for he existed before me.' I did not recognize him, but so that he might be manifested to Israel, I came baptizing in water." John testified, saying, I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him. I didn't recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, he upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remain upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. I myself have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. So he makes a difference altogether that this one who is coming, this Christ, is not baptizing so much with water. Water is limited. He's baptizing with something better. All right. But you could go more into detail on that. But remember, the homework is John 6.
But it is God. He was baptizing when people repented of their sin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because remember in the Gospels when he tells them.
There was a cleansing that came mm-hmm. with repentance of their sins.
Yeah.
So that we're talking. So it wasn't. They would confess their sins, repent of their sins, repent of their sins. Then they're baptized as a public testimony that this person, ceremonial, was free from their sin, basically,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Ceremonially until the next
yeah.
time. You know, mm-hmm. it was limited in that it was like some religious or some faith believe that you can be saved over and over again. It's
yeah.
kind of the same thing.
Yep. Exactly. Any other closing comments? Observations? Not. We'll stop here. We're already OT. So remember, John 6 is the homework. John 6, the miracles, do your charts. Find out your own way to do a chart if you have to. And then we'll, we'll also look at the discussion if you have time. But the discussion might be helpful. All right, so let's close in prayer. Dear Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we could spend studying your word and learning what's in there and squeezing this delicious fruit and getting those juices and knowing that there's so much more that we could keep getting. We pray that you watch over us as we go home and that we can study this week that John chapter 6, a very tough chapter. Open up our minds and hearts, we pray. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Remember, as men, be warned, be careful with making decisions, hasty decisions, and proclaiming them.